people are waiting for hospital tests. According to the Sunday Business Post, there are hidden waiting lists of tens of thousands of people waiting, in some cases over a year, for scans for cancer and other conditions. Over 27,000 people for MRI scans, according to a parliamentary response given to Fianna Fáil health spokesperson Billy Kelleher, and that these are not included in published waiting lists. The Minister for Health says waiting times for public patients are unacceptable, but there is no attempt to conceal the information. The latest HSE figures in October show that around 381,000 people are waiting for an outpatient appointment, and around 53,000 people are waiting for an inpatient appointment. Angela Fitzgerald, the HSE's National Director for Acute Hospitals, is in our studio. Angela Fitzgerald, thank you very much for coming into us. The figures that I've just quoted, which are from the HSE's performance review for October, are they accurate?
They are accurate. The figures you've provided, just for our listeners, show us the numbers of people waiting for an elective procedure, whether that's a day case or inpatient. And you've talked about the 50,000 figure there. The figure of 381,000 is every patient who's waiting for an outpatient procedure, an outpatient appointment, rather. Just to put that into context, we see 3 million people a year in our outpatients. So the 380,000 is about 10% or 11% of that group. Within that, there is about now, there are 14% of the patients, total patients, waiting over the 12-month target.
That's over 50,000 people.
This time last year, that was over 100,000. So the improvement programme that was put in place allowed us to deliver a sustained improvement. That's the first time that we've done that. And I think one of the things we're trying to do now is to learn from what works. So we know in relation to outpatient, what works is having good data that's reliable and that's measured consistently across hospitals. We know that you actually have to have agreed referral criteria so that doctors who are putting a tag on a patient of being urgent, that that's consistent. We know that validating the waiting list, and I heard you mention that earlier, just to explain to the listeners what that means. What that simply means is that the patient is still needs the treatment and is still available for the treatment. What we have found when we validated an outpatient waiting list, the people were on, as Dr. Duffy said, multiple waiting lists, and so therefore in many cases they'd had their treatment and yet they were still represented on our waiting list.
Yeah, now just I know this is going back over old ground to some extent, but one of the ways that you validated those lists was to write to the patient to ask them do they still want the procedure. That's hardly a useful or an accurate way of validating a list.
At the same time, we would always write to the treating the referrer. In the case of an inpatient procedure, that would be the consultant. In the case of an outpatient procedure, that with the GP. No patient is ever removed from a waiting list without the agreement of the consultant or the GP.
The people who are on inpatient waiting lists, over 53,000 people, what are they waiting for? Does that include people who are waiting for procedures like MRI scans, for
example? It doesn't.
Why not?
And just to explain, the procedure for an MRI is at the early point. As Trevor said, it's at the first point in the chain of having a patient treated. So to determine whether an inpatient procedure is indicated, a patient needs a scan. So going back to the suggestion that we're not publishing those or that we're somehow hiding waiting lists, if you look at the HSE website, there's a huge amount of information provided, and every month on the performance report, we're very direct and clear about where we're not delivering. And
yes, I think apart from endoscopies done for a gastrointestinal test, I can't see any other diagnostic
no,
tests.
No, we haven't included the diagnostics. And just to explain what we've done, similarly what we did with outpatients, up to about 2 years ago, we weren't reporting in the public domain on outpatient waiting lists. We did a huge exercise of trying to make sure that when we put information out, that we can stand over that information and that it's reliable and it's consistent and that it is representative of where the status is. We're adopting the same approach in relation to the diagnostics. And just to explain to people who are listening, anybody who's waiting for an urgent diagnostic for a cancer treatment, the wait time is 7 days, and we're satisfied that in the main that time frame is met. If there's anyone out there this morning who has a concern, whether that's a GP or whether it's an individual, they need to contact us immediately through their hospital. In terms of the average wait time, over 90% of people are waiting within the time frames we've agreed. You mentioned MRI. MRI is a particular challenge, but if you look at CT and ultrasound, there's no one waiting over 12 months. Coming back to MRI, it is our most expensive treatment, as Trevor said earlier on. And what we have done in the last 12 months, thanks to the whole kind of HRA and public sector agreements, we now have an extended working day for radiographers. What we want to try and do is align that with the other people involved in it. So the HRA programme has allowed us now to run additional sessions over the day. But Trevor is quite right. He mentioned that in the private sector, people are running 16, 18 hours a day. We're resource constrained in terms of doing that. The other experience we've had from the outpatient is about using what you have more effectively. And if you look at the hospitals that were named yesterday in the media, some of those have done very innovative things. So, for example, Beaumont and the Mater have tackled the long waiters, and they're now in a okay. position to reduce the wait times.
Half past eight, I'll get to news headlines in just a moment. From listening to what you're saying, from looking at the numbers, from listening to what Trevor Duffy told us earlier on, if you're sick, or more to the point, if you're worried that you're sick, isn't the moral here that you're better off going private?
I don't agree. I think if you
but
find...
But you'd be seen quicker.
I think if you can see if you're sick, you see that we're seeing those patients immediately. What we have found is there is a role for the private sector.
The point of being referred on to an expert is you don't know how sick you are until the tests are done.
Well, I think the first point is that's why referral criteria are very important, and that's why we're working with the GPs to make sure that if a patient has an urgent tag, and I've said already that those patients are seen within 7 days. We have used the private sector and it has a role to play, but we have found in relation to outpatients, it is very difficult for the patient to navigate their way back in. So I think where the private sector has worked in collaboration with the public system is around the inpatient side. I think at the outpatient side, it is important that they're seen in the public system.
Okay.
And we have a plan in relation to, it's published in our operational plan for this year in terms of tackling diagnostics, and we're happy to provide that information to you at any time.
When will you have a list published?
We will have a list published in the first quarter of this year.
Angela Fitzgerald from the HSE, thank you very much for coming into our studio.